Well, if you say that's the four seasons, you're right in two senses, because, of course, you get the original Vivaldi back there in the, or not the original, but the very familiar Vivaldi, quoted quite directly at the end of Piazzolla's Spring from his Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, as performed by the New Century Chamber Orchestra with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg. And welcome back to our studio. It's been, I think, 4 years.
Yeah, about 4 years. Thank you.
I was going to say what's new, but I see you do have, in the, well, other than, I suppose, a few hundred performances, you have also teamed up or helped to create, which was it, the New Century Chamber Orchestra?
Teamed up. The orchestra had been in existence for 17 years when I signed on as their music director. And this is just an incredible experience for me, one that I could not have, I just had no concept what it would have been like to be a music director. And it's you know, I just fell in love with the group, and I think the feeling was mutual, and just made it happen. It's almost as if a child comes into your life that you weren't planning and so becomes your life, and so that's what's happening with us now, and this is our first album together.
So what aspects of being a music director are the ones that you find particularly fulfilling?
Playing with them. This is a conductorless ensemble. And just from the first moment that I started playing with them in a guesting gig, I just went and, you know, did it just like any other gig, except that it's very different. I'm sitting as a concertmaster, you know. So I was intrigued by that. And I went and did it, and I spent about 10 days there. And we just, the music making is so vibrant and so immediate and exciting. It felt like when I was like a teenager again, as a young musician, just hearing pieces for the first time and playing them, and just the excitement of that. And so the chemistry, it's just a marriage really that works very well, and the chemistry was very, very strong. So we just made it happen. And so I would say the best part of being the music director is putting together a concert, the rehearsal process, very democratic group.
I thought that
a lot
word would
of talking
come out.
Going on, and performing. That's the good part.
But performing without that, what would you say, the high profile of the solo career that you've had for so long?
It's very different. I mean, it's as the music director and as the leader, I need to have that persona, that soloist persona, and the strength and the uniqueness of a soloist in order to bring them with me on stage. But I also then have to blend because I'm part of the orchestra. So it's that's the challenge for me musically.
And, well, of course, different repertory, too, than you
right.
would have played
exactly.
with all those big orchestras over the years.
Absolutely. Right.
The Piazzolla that we just heard, does that exist in more than one arrangement? I mean, because you're playing it with the Madison Symphony mm-hmm. this the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let me just mention quickly that it's tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday night at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30. You're playing the Four Seasons, all four of them, by Piazzolla. Full orchestra, scaled-down orchestra? How
just
does that?
Strings.
It is just the strings.
Just strings, and very, very demanding of the orchestra. In technically and musically, and even there are sounds that need to be created for this particular arrangement that are not sounds that we learned when we were training, you know. And so it really demands a lot even of the listener. It's just a phenomenally interesting and it's kind of barbaric, this piece. It's really wonderful. And you asked about the arrangement. Yeah, the Four Seasons are basically four tunes that Astor Piazzolla wrote for his quintet. And they have, because they're beautiful tunes, like most everything the guy wrote, they have been arranged and transcribed and rearranged dozens and dozens of ways. And I had played these seasons prior as well. A lot of people have. But this arrangement by Leonid Desyatnikov, was written for Gidon Kremer and his group, Kremerata. So this it's like taking Happy Birthday and making an opera into it. It's really, it's an awesome arrangement.
Well, yeah, that has to be fascinating musical exercise to take just a little piece.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like Beethoven said of his Diabelli variations, he started with a little cobbler's patch mm-hmm. and turned it into, what, 50 minutes of,
exactly.
of great variations. Mm-hmm. Well, this business of playing without a conductor, how, to what extent can an ensemble get away with that? I mean, you know, I'm asking this of somebody who's playing with the, you know, Madison Symphony this weekend, and we see conductorless orchestras from time to time, Orpheus being a major one. How necessary is a conductor?
I'll try to be diplomatic about this answer. When you have a conductorless ensemble, you're talking about musicians that are playing on a different level because they have to listen. They have to listen. So because of what is demanded of them. You have an orchestra that is black and white TV with some fuzz on it, and then you have a conductorless ensemble, which is HD. It has to be. There's no conductor. So every single member, every single person sitting in every single seat is capable of leading it. That's what is demanded of a conductorless ensemble. And, you know, I just opened my season with my orchestra, and we did another unreal arrangement of Pictures at an Exhibition.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, we're talking about very, 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 you have to just be completely astute and on top of it. But the excitement level and the responsibility of every single player is huge. I really truly believe, other than a sight line thing, that there is absolutely no reason to have a conductor. But, you know, I'm living with this experience now. There's no repertoire that we cannot do. None.
Really?
None.
Even things that would be for a full-scale orchestra?
Exactly. Well, you know, I did a holiday concert last season with the orchestra, and we had a full wind section. We had some brass. We had a choir on stage, and I led everything. And, you know, I'm playing as well.
Yes,
so there's very, very few. I mean, I think you can count on one hand at times when I actually had to lift my hand up, basically to give a cue or to give a downbeat. Everything else was done through the rehearsal and through the astuteness of the musicians and through my leadership quality sitting in that chair.
Well, that is an old tradition, though, isn't it, that actually almost that predates the conductor as mm-hmm. we think of it today as yeah. the first violinist,
exactly.
leading the ensemble with a nod of the head or maybe a wave of the bow, that
right,
kind of
exactly.
thing.
Right, exactly. And again, it's all, you know, it's all in the preparation as well. And when you are part of a conductorless ensemble, like I said earlier, the responsibility is much, much, much more. So these guys come into the rehearsals. They know they're not waiting for leadership. They're ready to go, you know.
Well, this is, as the first piece we heard, the Piazzolla, from, is this your newest CD?
This is the newest CD and my first CD with the orchestra, yeah.
This is Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg as music director and, of course, also performing as violinist with the New Century Chamber Orchestra. And this is an arrangement by Heifetz.
Transcription by my friend Dave Rimless of Gershwin.
That same latest CD featuring our guest today, Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg and the New Century Chamber Orchestra. Bess, You Is My Woman Now, with arranging by Yasha Heifetz and Mr. Rimmels, a friend of the ensemble. So are you planning to pretty much stay with being music director for the New Century Chamber Orchestra, or are you going to pick up other projects too?
I have a 3-year contract with them right now. So we have I have goals and we have things to do, and I can't say whether it will go long. It probably will, but I know one thing at this pace, being a music director, being a soloist, running a record label, that I cannot do that for much longer. I have a lot of energy, but that'll put me into early retirement. So.
Well, do you think you will miss performing how many concerts a year as a soloist?
I do about 100. And then there's the orchestra. So, I mean, it's not just the, you know, in being a music director, it's not just the preparation of the music. You know, it's the business side. The business of music is really, and I've learned a lot and I know a lot and I have a lot of experience and I've absorbed so much in all the years that I've been out here doing this. So, I think that I'm right for them right now. And I just want to accomplish some goals, at least, for the orchestra before I think about
the next move.
I bought a place in Belize recently, and I keep thinking about that now.
Yes. The only country that might be named after beer.
Yeah.
Strange.
I like that. Yeah.
Either beer or a pirate named Wallace.
Know how to
it's
pick
been
them.
Very unclear over the years, but yes, a charming place.
Yes.
Charming place. Very popular with zipliners, I think.
Yeah. They speak English. It's beautiful.
Well, let's hear just a little bit of Bach that you recorded some years ago. This is it keeps interesting company because it's on with a couple of different versions of the Dvorak Humoresque and then some Cole Porter. And actually, yesterday we heard that remarkable Franz Waxman Carmen.
Well,
this
album is a soundtrack from an old Hollywood movie called Humoresque. It's a Joan Crawford. So. I think of all the albums I've made, I'm proudest of that because of the level of violin playing and also the enormous variety of music on there. I'm playing solo Wagner, you know. So that's
true. Yeah, yes. And that's the first time, actually, the only time I've seen that Tristan and Isolde Fantasy, which is also Franz Waxman. We think of as a Hollywood composer, I guess.
It was used for that movie.
Yeah, so yeah. It was a very high-grade Hollywood composer.
Yes, indeed.
Well, from that same soundtrack, then. Who's the leading man, by the way? I don't recognize.
John Garfield.
It is John Garfield with Joan Crawford. There's the sonata, the presto from the Sonata No. 1 in G minor by Bach with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg. Feet. And part of it makes me want to see the film, which I have not, that Joan Crawford, John Garfield movie. Humoresque, I assume, was the name of the movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg with the presto from the Sonata in G minor of Bach. And in a minute, we'll have today's 12:30 quiz question here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Tell us about the Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky's a live album I made with my dear friend and colleague for many years, Marin Alsop, and we were able to, we decided that we needed to, we had done the Tchaikovsky so many times in performance, and I had just started my record label, and we decided, let's do a live performance of this, and then we coupled it with Clarissa Sod Concerto, which was a very, very new piece written for me, and I premiered it with Marin at the Cabrillo Festival, and we both fell in love with the piece and just decided, let's just do it. They're both D major, here's our album, and so it was great fun doing a live album with Marin.
A unique combination of concertos. Well, this is the finale of the Tchaikovsky with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg and the Colorado Symphony with Marin Alsop conducting. And thanks for being with us today during the midday, in case I forget
Pleasure.
To say that.
Thanks.
And they loved it, too. That was the Violin Concerto in D of Tchaikovsky, the finale, Allegro Vivacissimo, with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg as the soloist, and the Colorado Symphony Orchestra with Marin Alsop conducting. Well, Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg is with us for a few more minutes, and I should reiterate that she will be performing with the Madison Symphony this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 8 o'clock, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in the Overture Center for the Arts. On the program, the Four Seasons of Piazzolla, Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, to give the full title, and also on the program, the lively Ruslan and Ludmila Overture of Glinka and The Titan, the Symphony No. 1 of Mahler, with John Demain conducting. Nadja, yesterday I told this story in the format of Grace Notes about you as a percussionist. And I guess I didn't realize at the time that we actually have this piece on which you are playing your thighs.
Naked thighs.
Well, yeah.
It's important to state that.
Well, right, yes. Yeah,
that's the sound yeah. we needed to get.
Something that was not tinny. We got that from the story yesterday. But here I see, and as I said, I wasn't aware that we even had this piece, Andalusia by Sergio Assad. But they credit somebody else as the percussionist. What's with that?
Well, the percussionist on that album is Jimmy Hassad, who's a wonderful percussionist. But he plays the percussion in other tracks on the album. But this one spot is a very short spot in the middle of this particular track, and it's a little. It goes directly into a flamenco section, and we were trying to get a sound that Jamie just didn't have instrumentation for. And we're experimenting, and you know, the time was running out in the studio. And I just started playing on my, the percussion part on my thighs, and then I literally pulled my pants down and played it on naked thighs. And everybody was like, "That's it, that's the sound." Because if you cup your hands a certain way,
sure.
I don't know. I think it's just fat thighs. I don't know, thin thighs.
But suitable only for part of this piece. Is that what you're telling me?
Just in the middle, yeah. Just a little flamenco section. I really shouldn't be talking about it on the air, but it worked. And you know. Economical.
So this is not likely to be released as a music video anytime
soon.
No,
thank God there were no photographers there. But I was sore and I had black and blue marks.
And it's what we call gamba playing here.
Yeah,
this is Andalusia.
Funny.
So so there were two kinds of percussion in there. That's the answer to that. what was the official percussionist playing? I couldn't entirely tell.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I should
just
know that.
Something else.
Yes, South American things that you bang on.
Well, all right. What would be the very next piece you'd like to record?
Because I have this great orchestra of my own now, I would really love to put down the Bach concertos.
Oh, okay.
I think it would be just, yeah. I've played.
Beautiful pieces.
Yeah, and the D minor. I just did the D minor with them, which is a piano concerto. It's monstrous. It's really hard. And I think it would be great to put like the A minor, E major, and D minor down with the band. We'll see.
The E is very pretty too.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Well, that would be a combination to look for. And these are on this new label that you have put out,
NSS Music.
NSS Music, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so those are findable that way. Well, we'll have the results of our quiz question in about 4 minutes or so, and we'll find out what these various numbers and composers' names mean. And that gives us time for one more from our guest today, Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg. And here she's playing with Sandra Rivers, back in 1995. And I think, just for variety's sake, and maybe because it's Friday, we'll hear from Scott Joplin, The Easy Winners.